Another welcome. I'm glad everybody's here this morning. You want to sing some songs this morning, a good praise song. It says, I know whom I have believed, the first one. Join in together if you will. There's red books in the seats around you, either underneath you, in front of you, behind you. Look around, make sure everyone has a red book they can sing out of so they can see the words to it. We sing these songs, let's just join together and let's just praise God in everything we do. This first song says, I know whom I have believed, and I hope and pray that you don't just say that, but you know that. If you don't know it, you need to find out. Learn who Jesus is and let it be part of your life. Page 340, I know whom I have believed. Everyone join in.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed before his own.
As you sing it, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, as you're singing that song, yes, you can praise the Lord. It's really good. This next song says, I rejoice in the Lord. If you know him and you know him as your Savior, you should surely be able to rejoice. It's 266.
His presence.
And y'all continue standing. We're going to sing a song a cappella, and some of you will know it, some of you may not, but join in with us if you can pick up on it. It's a beautiful, beautiful song, has a just a very, very good message in it. Join in with us.
One day as I was thinking on unseen things above, the Savior spoke unto me and filled my heart with love. Oh, I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in this war. To have some people who walked and talked with me, but since I've been converted, they've turned their backs on me. Oh, I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in this war. I'm gonna die on with glory in my soul. Some say, give me silver. Some say, give me gold. But I say, give me Jesus, who saved my dying soul. Oh, I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in this war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I'll take this gospel trumpet and I'll begin to blow. Oh Lord, if you will help me, I'll blow it where.
Stand and join in with the praise team up here.
We'll just sing along with us. This next song is a medley of different hymns. So it's a bunch of classic songs thrown into one. I don't know. I've never counted how many songs are sung in this, but it's a medley of all of them. So you will definitely recognize one that you know at least.
Songs of
You may be seated.
All right, this morning, I'm going to ask Jake if he would to come up and I get him a microphone here. And what I'd like to do each week, starting this morning, is have different of our leaders. Jake's going to come up and share with us a little bit about the youth ministry, what's happening with the youth ministry right now. I'm going to also have, and I haven't told Justin this yet, but I'm going to have him come up and share about children's ministry, things that are going on there. Just kind of a recent updates on that, just to share with the entire church, because a lot of times, you know, things are happening upstairs, things are happening in our children's church, our youth, and different classes, and the rest of the church really doesn't know what's going on. I'll also share about the college and career class, and also some different ministries like Yoke. I want to know, you know, kind of what's going on with Yoke, Pregnancy Resource Center, Awake 21, Rocio Christi, all these different things. And so instead of spending an entire service and trying to go through that and, you know, probably forgetting after the second or third person gets up and presents, each Sunday morning, I'm going to have a different person come up and just share about what's going on. And so this morning, I'm going to have Jake share with us a little bit about the youth ministry, what's been going on, what's going on now, and what's coming up here in the near future. And so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
All right. Most of you know me. My name is Jacob Daniels. I'm the youth pastor here. My wife helps me. We have Matthew and Autumn helping us with middle school. And our middle school class has been going through the 12 ordinary men, the disciples. The high school is doing a study called Knowing the Bible, and we're basically going through Genesis. We just finished Ruth. We're hitting Esther. So we've done over half a dozen books already. We teamed up with the college and career the other day and took the youth and them to the Journey to Bethlehem, the movie. So we had a church field trip that night. So we went there and we watched that. Everybody seemed to have a good time. We have to give Gabby credit. She kept talking about it, so we jumped on her bandwagon. Coming up is going to be our winter retreat. We did it a couple years in January. This year we're going to do it right after Christmas. It's called the Extreme Winter Conference. Crowder and a couple others host it. It's in Pigeon Forge. So if you are interested in what that's about, I can talk to you more about it. If you're interested in going and you're not signed up and you're a youth, you come and talk to us. We can work people in. Jordan said if we have too many people, he'll help get them all up there and then help get them back. So don't let that be a factor. So that's what we've been doing and what we're doing right now. We got some exciting things coming even today for the youth and the church, really. So that is where we're at.
The title message this morning is More Than Meets the Eye. More Than Meets the Eye. I thought about that as we were singing through that song, I'm Gonna Die on the Battlefield. It said, one day while I was thinking on unseen things above, the Spirit or the Savior spoken to me and filled my heart with love. And I was thinking about the message this morning, More Than Meets the Eye. More Than Meets the Eye. 2 Kings chapter 6. And I want to just quickly this morning look at several scriptures. I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. Sometimes I preach on one verse or two or three verses. Sometimes there might be multiple passages. But I want to quickly look at several scriptures this morning. And I want to begin by going back in time 3,000 years to an event recorded during the prophetic ministry of the prophet Elisha. And that's where we pick up in 2 Kings chapter 6. I would ask if you would stand in honor of God's word as we read this together. Listen to this account. It says, and when the servant of the man of God, and it's referring to Elisha, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host or an army can pass the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? They're surrounded by this army. Verse 16. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Let's go in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. God, the truthfulness of it. God, there are things that challenge us, like what we've just read. Maybe it challenges our American mentality, our Western mentality. God, we're pretty skeptical. I tell people all the time, I'm a huge skeptic. I'm one of the most skeptical people I've ever met. That God, I stand here today as a convinced skeptic. Because God, what we just read is true, and everything that comes before it in your word is true, and everything that comes after it in your word is true. And it's going to require us to humble ourselves, to consider what you have revealed, to really consider, to meditate upon it. And Father, I pray that we would be impacted this morning by your word, by your spirit. God, I pray that you would help us to understand that there are things, there are realities that are unseen. And that does not mean that they're not real. I hope we would see that this morning. If we're not already aware of that, hope you would reveal that to us and open our eyes this morning. But if we are, I want us to even have an even deeper and greater confidence and faith that that is the case and that this is true. That's our goal this morning, that we would be transformed by your word. Transformed by your spirit. That's always our goal every time we come together. And God, you never seem to disappoint. So Father, we pray that you would do your will during this time and fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that God, you would impact every one of us, God, by your word and by your spirit. We pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Do you believe in angels? I think about this account, these fiery chariots. Boy, that was really a reality to Elisha. Who was his predecessor? Elijah. Now, what happened to him? Good luck explaining that to somebody. Go back and read it. These chariots of fire that are being described here, Elijah was taken. Gone. Physically gone. Do you really believe that happened? I mean, I'm a skeptic. Do you really believe in angels? Isn't that like believing in leprechauns? Like, if I got up here this morning, I gave an account of somebody seeing a leprechaun. You know, wouldn't that seem kind of foolish? Wouldn't you be kind of embarrassed to be sitting here this morning? Aren't angels just like leprechauns or fairies or whatever else? Just a silly superstition that we in the 21st century should reject? Haven't we advanced beyond believing mythological accounts like this? My answer would be no. Angels are not like leprechauns. And here's why. And this is going to be an extremely brief explanation of why I say that. I would begin here. The universe has a beginning. The universe had a beginning. I don't know of anyone who, as a matter of fact, if you disagree with this, I can't tell you in what extreme minority you find yourself in. The universe had a beginning. There was nothing, and then there was everything. And I don't know anyone today who doesn't believe that. 100 years ago, tons of people didn't believe that. 500 years ago, even going back 2,500 years ago, tons of people did not believe that. But today that's changed. There was nothing, and then there was everything, and every single person in this room has been taught that. If you went through public school, I remember hearing about the Big Bang. There was nothing, and there was then everything, and nothing else has come into existence outside of that since then. Matter can neither be created nor destroyed. You cannot get rid of matter. You can't add to the amount we've got. You can't take away from it. All you can do is change its forms. There was nothing, and then there was everything. This is an indisputable fact. The universe had a beginning. It was brought into existence. And this fact was revealed by God and recorded 3,500 years ago by a man named Moses. who is out herding sheep. A person who would be seen by today's standards as very primitive, especially technologically. He didn't have a smartphone. He didn't have electricity. I mean, a very, as we imagine it, technologically, a very primitive time. And if we're not careful, we think we're superior to someone like Moses because I do have a smartphone and he does not have a smartphone. I have the internet. I have electricity. This is the modern era. These were old primitive people. I'll quickly turn the tables on that. When somebody begins to think that way about the authors of Scripture, I'll ask a question like, how many languages do you speak? Moses probably spoke a couple. In the ancient world, especially you look in Jesus' day, people were multilingual, but not just bilingual, multilingual. You see, they were just as smart as we are today, but they were smart in some different ways. What's your capacity to memorize things? I'll promise you, it would probably be the weakest person in their society as far as memory goes, except for someone who might be mentally incapacitated. Our memories are terrible. Their memories were incredible. But 3,500 years ago, it was revealed and recorded, revealed before then, but pinned down and recorded that the universe had a beginning. And that fact was confirmed by the scientific discoveries of men like Albert Einstein and Edwin Hubble in the 20th century. Prior to that, the consensus was the universe was eternal. All that there ever was or will be, all that there ever was or is or ever will be, that was the consensus. That consensus is now dead. Everyone agrees the universe had a beginning, and that has enormous implications, including what we're talking about this morning. Science finally caught up with Revelation, and that is profound. Because here's the thing, this universe that had a beginning contains conscious, intelligent beings. If you look around this room, conscious, intelligent beings, which means whatever produced this universe must possess consciousness and intelligence. So that infinite something is not an infinite something uncreated that created this world, which was the physical realm. That infinite something is an infinite someone. Consciousness and intelligence, being, personhood, a personal being, because we have personal beings. Therefore, whatever created us has to at least have the attributes that whatever created us gives to us, imparts to us. So whatever produced the universe must possess consciousness and intelligence in dimensions beyond this three-dimensional universe. And it has been revealed by God. The same source that told us the universe had a beginning has also revealed that that there are other created intelligent beings that dwell in a higher dimension. So no, this is not like believing in leprechauns. This is completely different. When I say there are angelic beings, and this is a true account. And if that freaks you out some, that's perfectly fine. It probably should. And again, what I just described to you, I'm giving that to you extremely briefly. I could go into a lot more detail. But I'm going to stop there and I'm going to move on to what we just read. I want you to notice that angels were already present. They didn't come from some distant galaxy. That's not their nature. I'm not saying there's angels on faraway planets or in solar systems or in galaxies. They're not within the physical realm. As I said earlier, they dwell in a higher dimension, the three-dimensional world in which you and I live. I want you to notice these angels were already present. But Elisha's servant was not capable of seeing them. And God had to give him that capability to see the unseen. Now, I bring this up this morning. One of the reasons I bring this up this morning is surrounding the birth of Jesus, we have multiple angelic appearances. And I want you to notice that in every case, you don't see them traveling from some distant place. They just appear. They just manifest themselves. They just appear within a room. They appear suddenly like they were already there. Go back and read the accounts. They just appear. They appear suddenly like they were already there, like they were behind the scenes, moving to the forefront, manifesting themselves, and then after they deliver their message, as they are messengers of God, after they deliver that message, they fall back behind the scenes again. That's what's being described in Scripture. Now, you may sit here this morning and say, well, that's interesting. Good for Elisha, good for his servant, good for Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and Zechariah, those who have seen angels. Okay, that's interesting. You know, those are interesting accounts. What does that have to do with us? Well, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. We're going, on Sunday nights, we're going through the book of Hebrews. We just went over this passage a few weeks ago. And it's talking about the superiority of Jesus Christ. Though he is a human being, it's talking about his superiority to angels. These beings that dwell in a higher dimension than what you and I dwell in. Intelligent beings, but they are created. But Jesus Christ is superior to them. And as the writer of Hebrews is making that case through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he makes this statement just kind of in passing. What does it say in verses 13 and 14? Hebrews chapter 1. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? That was said to Jesus Christ by God, setting him in a position of authority, of equality with God. That was never said to an angel. Then it says in verse 14, it tells us a little bit about angels, about their job description. And it says, are they not all ministering spirits? They're spiritual, they're not physical. These are real beings, real intelligent created beings, but they're immaterial. They dwell outside of the physical realm, outside of the material realm. Are they not ministering spirits, spirit beings? What does it say next? Sent forth to minister or to serve, to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now that does include you. And that includes me. Now, I have to admit this morning, I don't understand the details of how the spiritual realm operates. I know that it operates. I know that there is a spiritual realm. I know that by the revelation of God. The details of that and how it operates, I'm going to tell you, I don't understand the details of it. I don't know the details. I don't understand the details. I also don't understand how the spiritual realm interacts with this physical, with the physical realm. But I believe that it does. Upon the authority of God, I believe that it does. God and his word, I believe that it does. And I believe that the spiritual realm, although imperceptible to us, is highly active. I believe that the spiritual realm is highly active, though beyond our perception. Just because I can't perceive it doesn't mean that it's not happening. And I believe that it is, according to God who is aware of all activity at all times. And I believe that we are all directly affected by events in the spiritual realm. I believe we are all directly affected by it, not just Elisha, not just Mary or Joseph. But what we read here in Hebrews chapter 1 pulls us into the pages of the story to say it's not just them, it's also you. Now, you may not physically see a visible manifestation of these things, but you are impacted by what's happening in the spiritual realm. Paul writes it later on the other side of this thing to say, we battle not against flesh and blood. All these interactions we see happening in the world, whether it's Israel and Hamas, whether it's Russia and Ukraine, whether it's interpersonal problems you have with another person, he's saying there's more going on than meets the eye. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places. What are principalities and powers? It's talking about spirit beings beyond this realm. I believe what we're reading here, this pulls us into the pages of the story, or maybe more appropriately, the story extends off the pages and extends to us. But even far beyond the angelic, even far beyond the spiritual realm, look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. Jesus is talking here about how to deal with an offense. How do we deal with each other interpersonally, especially within the context of the body, the church, a body of believers? And he says that if this is very practical, this is just, you know, how we're to live life in this world, in this physical realm, is that if you have a problem with somebody, you go to that person, you talk about it with them and try to work it out. And if you can work it out, then you've gained your brother. If they won't listen to you, you take somebody else with you as a witness that can affirm it's not, the issue doesn't reside with you, it resides with this other person. Take a witness with you. If they won't hear that, then bring it before the church, bring it before the body. If they won't hear them, then put them out and treat them as an unbeliever. If they won't change, if they won't repent, then put them out of the congregation, but yet still try to win them, still be open to reconciliation with them. It tells us how to handle these things within the church and really how to just interact with anybody. But then he goes on in this verse when he talks about putting someone out of the congregation who is unrepentant. Listen to what it says in verse 18. Verily I say unto you, this is Christ speaking, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20, you've heard this probably verse quoted many times. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So what's happening this morning? According to what Christ is saying is that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst. I don't see him. He said he's here. He said that he's in the midst. I believe him. I think he's here this morning. I don't think you're going to visually see him this morning. That does not mean that he's not here. What we're talking about here is God. We've talked about angels. Angels are spirit beings. They're immaterial. They share that aspect of their nature. They share that with God. God is not material. He's not made of hydrogen or helium or lithium or any material. He's not made of energy. He's not bound by space. He's immaterial. Angels are immaterial, but understand this. They are created. They are finite. They had a beginning. God is none of the above. God is infinite. God had no beginning. God has no limits. We're talking about God, the infinite God, uncreated, the creator, who created all things. The infinite God who exists, one infinite being, exists in his three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that God is not bound within the spiritual realm. He's certainly not bound within the physical realm, but he's also not bound within the spiritual realm. The realm outside of this realm. Because he created the physical realm and he created the spiritual realm. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The spiritual realm and the physical realm. But he dwells outside of both of them. He is transcendent to all creation. As I mentioned, you're talking about beings in a realm that is in a higher dimension than this realm. God is dimensionless. He's not bound within any dimension. He dwells outside of all of it. It's hard for us to get our mind around this. He is what we refer to him within theology as transcendent to all of creation. His creation cannot bind him. He cannot be bound. For instance, if you say, well, God dwells in heaven, where did he dwell before heaven was created? God's throne. God's throne contains God. Well, how big must that throne be to contain the infinite? No, what we're talking about in heaven, when you see God, when you see Jesus Christ sitting upon the throne, what you're seeing is the fullest manifestation of God within his creation, but you're not seeing all of God. Isaiah did not see all of God. We will never see all of God because he is unseeable, because he is infinite. He is without limit. And the finite can't even take it in. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is not bound in the physical realm. He's not bound in the spiritual realm. He is without dimension. He transcends all dimensions. Dwelling outside of creation, yet understand, active in every single realm, including this realm this morning, right here as we speak. He is active here this morning. And he could manifest himself if he so willed it. He is active in every realm. And it is the infinite Son of God who is here this morning. According to his own testimony, he is present. Present, yet unseen. He is among us, just as he told us he would be. And then last of all, John 14, verses 19 through 20. John 14, verses 19 through 20. Listen to what he tells his disciples. And he's just told them it's essential that he goes away so that the Comforter may come, the Spirit of Christ may come. And in John chapter 14, listen to what he says in verses 19 through 20. He says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. But you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye are in me. You are in me, and I in you." Not only what Christ is saying, not only is he in the midst of us, he is within us. Dwelling within us as the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwells inside of us. He is among us, he is with us, but he is also within us. Now, when you read in Scripture, you read about these things, again, I don't profess to understand the details of this, and I think it's beyond my comprehension. But you read about things in Scripture like demonic possession. Demonic possession. And what we know occurs with demonic possession is you've got a person, a human being who is physically in front of you, a person, but there is some other being who is impacting and if not controlling that person. The example I would give would be Legion. Christ encounters this man who's referred to as Legion. That wasn't his name, but they called him Legion. Why do they call him Legion? Because we are many. Who? What? Who's we? He's talking to one guy. Who's we? It's the one speaking through this man to Jesus. There's some other being, spirit being speaking through this man, controlling him. He's lost all control. He's under demonic control. What he says and what he does. Do you understand? Jesus is not speaking to this man. He's speaking to the beings who, and however this works, is possessing this man. Our name is Legion, for we are many. And they go on and they begin. There are other beings speaking through this man to Jesus Christ. A physical person under the control of immaterial spirit beings. And again, I can't comprehend how that works. But in the same way and in a greater and glorious way, Christ can dwell in us. And however God created this thing and set this up, how my spirit, how my soul interacts with my body, I can't draw you a diagram and explain it, but I know that the person talking to you right now, it's not my larynx. My tongue is not talking to you. And I'm not talking to your eardrums, and it's not my brain communicating with your brain. It's me as a person talking to you as a person. And I'm using my brain and my larynx, my voice box, and my tongue to communicate ideas. But I'm more than just a body, and so are you. I don't understand those things, but I understand that this is true. That in the same way, in a greater and glorious way, Christ can dwell in us. And I've experienced things in my life, and hopefully you have as well, where maybe at some point you said something to someone, especially about the Lord. You said something to somebody, and as you were sharing something with them, especially about Christ, about God's Word, as you're talking to somebody, it's like you're not even the one talking. It's like I'm listening to this along with the person with whom I'm speaking because it ain't me speaking. I'm not the one speaking. It's someone else speaking through me. Have you ever experienced that? It's like you're listening along with them and you walk away from the conversation feeling like that wasn't me. That was not me. I didn't think that up. It was coming out as fast as these thoughts were coming into my head, but it wasn't me talking to this person, it was him. It was Christ in me speaking to that person and hopefully impacting that person with the gospel and with the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about. Not just that Christ dwells among us, but he dwells in us. Paul writes about these things He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But what does he say next? But Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me. And I say all this morning to say this, there is more than meets the eye. There is more than meets the eye. As we close this morning, I'm going to ask our youth, our overflow group to get up, to come up if they would. They prepared an invitation. I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. There is more than meets the eye. So what are we to do with this? What are the, okay, Jordan, okay, that's, wow, okay, I got to think about everything you just said, but now what? What do we do with this? What are the implications? Well, last of all, Matthew chapter 28. Here's part of the implications we can't understand. You're going to see a proclamation. You're going to see a command. And then you're going to see a promise. Here's the proclamation. Jesus came and spoke to them after his resurrection. After it had been finished on the cross, after he rose again on the third day, he's now speaking to his disciples, and he says this, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In this realm and in all realms, I possess all power. It's all mine. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's the proclamation. Because of that reality, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's our command, is to go and teach all things that he has commanded, to go and teach all nations, to go and make disciples. That's the proclamation. That's the command. What does he say last? And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. A proclamation. The proclamation of all proclamations. All power in heaven and in earth are given unto me. And then a promise. The promise of all promises. I will be with you. I'm with you always. He's with you right now. You know, Christ is your Savior. He's with you right now. He is here right now. That is the proclamation. That is the promise. Therefore, teach. Make disciples of all nations. Share Christ with the whole world. Share Christ with the entire world. Share with the entire world the message of the gospel, the message of Christ, that is this, for God so loved this world. And by the way, there are other worlds. But for God so loved the world, sinners, men and women like us, created in his image. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. That's the promise. I'm being obedient to that this morning. I'm telling you. What you do with it's up to you. My job, my command is tell the whole world. Tell Friendsville, tell Blount County, tell Tennessee, tell the United States, tell India, tell Haiti, tell the UK. There's a reason why we support international missions, because we are to teach not just this nation, but all nations, including this nation. Make disciples, teach. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded, because all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth, and because he is with us always. If you're here this morning, I hope you understand the reality of what I'm talking about. If you don't, it may become very stark very soon. Because when you die, that's not the end. You change realms. According to God, you change realms. You're gone. Well, wait a minute, your brain's still here. Your tongue's still here. Your eardrums are still here. But you're gone. We recognize that. That's why we would say, well, what's left over? The remains. What will you do with the remains? Cremation? Burial? It's the remains. It's not you. Suddenly you recognize the difference. Jordan is gone. His body's here. Every atom, every cell, still present. But I'm gone. That's the reality of what I'm talking about. And I'm talking to you this morning. If you're here and you have never experienced the forgiveness of God, you need Jesus Christ this morning to work a miracle. I'm not asking you to explain it. I'm asking you to believe what he said. You better. I hope this morning is humbling to you and humbling to me. I've told you there's about a dozen things I don't understand, and I will probably never understand in this life, but I don't have to understand it. I know enough. I understand enough. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. You need to call upon the Lord and say, God, I'm a sinner, and I know if I die today, I'll be separated from you, and rightfully so. I need your forgiveness. I need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I believe you died for me. I'm putting my trust in him that his payment on the cross paid for my evil and for my sin. So when I leave this world, I can go into your presence and not be separated from you forever. That is the gospel. And if you're here this morning, if you never believed that, you need to believe it. You need to believe it right now. As we sing this together, good, good Father. If you need to come and pray, this altar is open. I'll pray with you this morning.